Best in Oakland Park. In this way, speaking. How may I help you?
Hi, room 327, please.
Sure, hold on.
Greetings. Is this David?
Yeah, yeah.
This is John Brody from Reggae.com. How are you?
I could be better, but I give thanks.
Yes, thank you. Well, I thank you for taking a little time to talk to me today. First of all, congratulations on an excellent album, An African Holocaust.
Okay, thank you.
It's our pick for the Reggae Grammy of the Year for sure.
I hope it gets that, but, you know, Grammy has a lot of politics behind it, so, you know, we're just going to go with the flow.
Well, absolutely, but I think it's well-deserved.
The onus is not on me and you, unfortunately.
Over what time period did you put the material together, David?
Over a 2.5-year period, because we've been touring in between.
Okay. Now, did any particular events inspire the album title and the messages in this music?
Not necessarily. As a matter of fact, I mean, we talk about No More Weapons of Mass Destruction, which is one of the tracks on the album.
Right.
I mean, we actually wrote that before the Iraqi war took place.
Really? Okay.
You know, it was that kind of thing. But, you know, when it came to recording it, well, there's another thing, you know. But there was no particular incident, but just a series of events that's been ongoing, like Tyrant, when we wrote that, you know, there's another track.
Mm-hmm.
When we actually wrote that track, I mean, when you look what's going on in a lot of countries, you know, over the past 5 to 10 years, there's been a lot of, you know, leaders that have been running the country, you know, on the false pretenses, you know, like rigged votes and, you know, rigged ballot boxes and all that kind of stuff, you know, and we decided to put that song together on that merit, you know. I mean, there's cases where a lot of leaders in Africa have been doing the same thing. You got Milosevic out there in Eastern Europe did the same thing, and, you know, there's a recent thing that happened in the news as well with the guy that got poisoned.
Yes, yes.
You know, it's just a ongoing thing. So we just picked incidents that no one else has had time to challenge or look at closely, and just decided to put them into subject matter.
Well, you know, African Holocaust, you know, certainly deals with some powerful messages, and hopefully it can help stimulate some positive change. You know, this is Black History Month here in the States. And a lot's changed since Steel Pulse got started some 30 years ago. And as you travel the world and so forth, do you feel that we're making progress as a world community?
I think we are in one sense, definitely musically. I mean, it's obvious that music has played a big part in uniting the world and going towards causes, you know, that never happened in the past.
I think particularly inspiring the younger people to get more involved.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it has done. However, then you got the right-wing orientated administration and governments in various places that have, you know, that they've sort of tightened the belts on everybody else's and the pockets, you know, to the extent where a lot of people have dropped their, you know, heart-rendered sentiments and going for the money and material things. So, you know, this is where the system have got hold of everybody. So no matter how you want to play a part in uniting the world, the system say, hey, wait a minute, think about the money, think about getting your own act together, because this is what's going to happen if you've got no money. And as a result, you sort of abandon where your heart really lies and where your mind really lies just to try and make that quick buck to survive.
That's right. Well, I think, you know, a lot of it comes down to the fact that, you know, we need to realize that we are a world community, and that, you know, we're not going to be effective for us and our children if we live strictly by short-term solutions and don't take a broader viewpoint.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, I was at the performance of the Culture Room last night, which was terrific.
Yeah, last night.
Yes. Now, having played, you know, obviously a lot of major, major events around the world, what's it like for you guys playing a club audience? I figured partly it's because it's the start of the tour and you're getting warmed up.
No disrespect, but playing in small clubs for me has become very frustrating over the years for two reasons. After a performance, it's as if you've done about 10 concerts that night, because there's so much sweat and energy put out, because there's such small, confined places that you tend to burn up a lot more energy than you would on an open stage in front of 5,000, 10,000 people.
I can definitely understand that. I think it's also, in some extents, particularly in the culture club environment, it's a culture room environment. It's harder on your audience too, because it was definitely an overcrowded room in there last night.
Yeah, the good thing about it is that the audience can touch you, they can reach you, they can eye contact, everything. That's the advantage. Like I said, the disadvantage is the heat and the energy one has to give off on stage, and to know that you're only reaching a small sector of people, 600, 700 people,
Absolutely.
when that same energy could be, 25% as much on an open stage, and you're reaching 10 times the amount of people.
Exactly.
That's my qualm about the whole club scenario.
I think I can totally understand that. How would you say your audience has changed over the years?
Well, they've remained young while we've gone old. That's a good thing. And I'd say a lot more African Americans are attending the concerts more than before,
Which
which is
is.
a good thing, because we used to have a predominantly white audience in most towns in the United States. But right now, you can see that, it's sort of growing in certain areas where the African American is getting involved in the reggae music, because they weren't really exposed to it before in the past as much as the white audiences, for all kinds of reasons. I mean, the black radio stations weren't playing reggae for once, for one, where the rock stations were and the college stations were, and so that's the change I've noticed. It's been a younger audience over the years, and also it's bringing a lot more a different type of audience as far as the attendance of the Afro Americans.
Do you see the audience continuing to grow pretty much on a worldwide basis?
Oh yeah, of course. Reggae has been growing, as far as the audience. It's just that the industry is not really catering for it. I mean, we've just talked about the Grammys, and what I'm trying to say, that reggae is a very much established music right now. And having said that, it's been 20 years since there's been a reggae category in the Grammys, and despite that, there's still no one going up to collect it where they're seen on TV collecting it. So it still has not been on, like TV media. And I
Exactly.
think it needs that, and it deserves that, because it's made a very big influence on a lot of different styles of music over the years.
I think that, I mean, that's certainly the key reason. Reggae has had, from you to Marley to a number of other artists, has been an immense influence on most of modern music.
Yeah.
And I mean, obviously, you even had an establishment publication like Time magazine picking Bob Marley's Exodus album as the best album of the century, and yet you still can't have artists coming up on stage at the Grammys. So it's definitely the case. So what do you think of the overall state of reggae music today?
I've got mixed views about that. The mixed views are that, there's been a lot of interest in beats and grooves over the years, and also it's the current dance hall that's there has helped to bridge the gap between ourselves and, like I says, the Afro Americans, where they've sort of incorporated the grooves in a lot of R&B tracks that they're doing now, and also the hip hop. And you see there's a lot of rap artists where reggae's always had the the rapping, or what we call toasting, in the music in the earlier years. So that's the gap it's bridged. However, the lyrical content is somewhat to be desired as far as how it was introduced to the world in the first place through the icons like Bob Marley and the Wailers, Third World, ourselves, and Abyssinians. They're all bands that were roots orientated, and the lyrics always had something positive to say, and always had something spiritual to say, and an upliftment, and with a for a better future for mankind. And dance hall now is like, it's just good time going, and about women, about sex, and a lot of those, those have been the setback in the areas, because I think it's we need a message right now, especially the way the world is turning right now, and the wars, and the just the whole racism aspect of things. I mean, a case in point, you know, all the way in England and various parts of Europe, soccer is still, you know, the biggest game out there compared to your basketball here in the US. Mm-hmm. Soccer is the biggest thing, and one of the problems soccer still has in Europe is a racism aspect where a lot of black players, you know, are still being, you know, victimized and taunted while they're on, you know, while they're on the pitch performing. You know, they're being jeered at and, you know, have things thrown at them, toilet paper and, you know, banana skins thrown at them, little things like that, and that's been going on for the longest time. So, you know, we need a message right now.
I definitely agree. Over the years, what would you say are some of the performances that stick out in your mind as highlights of the band's career?
One that stuck out the most has always been our very first time in Jamaica, performing in front of the Jamaican population, sort of thing.
Was that Reggae Sunfest in 95?
No, Reggae Sunsplash in 1981.
Okay, Sunsplash in 81.
Yeah, about 3 months after Bob Marley died, we performed. And it's always been one of our, landmark
highlight.
As our career. You know, another one has been the inauguration, actually, known that we were chosen to perform for Bill Clinton and Al Gore, the time we did. You know, that's just to name a few.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, what do you think of the celebrations going on this month in Ethiopia?
I'm all for it. I feel disappointed that we weren't invited, you know, and we didn't hear about it till the last minute ourselves. So there's a reason for everything. You know, while we miss out on that one, there's always something to catch on the back end of it, because come September, you know, there's the Ethiopian New Year's, and also come December, possibly, who knows, or November the 2nd, I should say, to be exact, marks the 75th anniversary since the Emperor of Ethiopia was had his coronation. So, you know, what you don't catch in the front end, we might catch in the back end.
Some major events. What particular issues would you like to see capture people's attention?
Issues? Well, the African crisis right now, you know, what we've titled the album African Holocaust, and the crisis that is out there, you know, as regard to, you know, certain people suppressed in certain zones, you know, like the militia scenario that's happening in Sudan.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and also we know, you know, the AIDS crisis is still a predominant issue out there in Africa. You know, we know also the, you know, the economical situation as regards the outstanding debts that Africa has, and you know, little, it just goes on and on. You know, I'd like to know that we could bring about a better unification of Africa, and not only that, you know, forget about the handouts, because it's always easy to, you know, give a man a fish, he'll always eat for that day, but you know, the saying goes, you teach him to fish and he'll eat for a lifetime. And that's been the setback with all these Live Aids and the Jive Aids and, you know, the fundings and the monies that are always given from time to time for certain causes. And it's never a case where it's been done to have someone turn around and be self-efficient. It's always been a case where, hang on, we'll have them fed for the time being and it's back to the drawing board. That scenario I'd like to see put to an end, where we can literally set Africa up for them to be self, you know, for us to be self sufficient.
And grow into the major economic force and cultural force that Africa can be.
Of course.
On a personal side, what gives you the most satisfaction, and what are some things out there that you'd still like to accomplish?
As far as self-satisfaction, we've been around for 30 years and haven't been featured in one movie. Damn, that's, I think that's a setback. I think we need to get ourselves involved in, you know, movie score writing, mm-hmm. and also actually taking part in one or two, you know, parts in movies, you know, even a cab driver in a car chase or something, you know, let's do something.
That'd be great.
Yeah, I'd like to know, you know, the world of acting. I'd like to know that's a career to pursue.
Well, Well, you got a strong shot, I think, at adding another Grammy Award with for African Holocaust to your achievements. And I just want to mention to you that the 12th annual Reggae Soca Music Awards are going to be here in Fort Lauderdale on, September 3rd this year. And I'd say there's pretty strong chance you're going to be a leading nominee for the award for Best Album and probably Best Reggae Band of the Year. So maybe we can get you back down here to Fort Lauderdale in September.
Well, let's hope so, because I know the Grammys is pretty... I think they've always selected who they want to win in the first place. I think it's all politics. So if we can get one where the people have made a decision as opposed to, you know, people who haven't really heard the albums and just sort of pick on the merit of... you know, how affiliated they are with record labels, you know, that'd be a good thing.
Well, we have the voting down here is done done on the internet and also by ballots all from South Florida, predominantly Florida residents, but also people from around the world via the internet. But it is all fans and, I'm sure a few music professionals as well. But anyway, we'd love to have you down here, and I'll make sure we get some more information to your team up there about how it's going to be put together. Anyway, do you have any closing thoughts for all the visitors we have at reggae.com?
All the business, closing thoughts? My closing thoughts are I think that there needs to be a governing body when it comes to, reggae music. Where we could have more control of the way that the music is distributed and the way the music is put to the people. There needs to be a governing body of some kind. If it means picking a few band members from certain bands across the world and have some kind of a committee. I think that needs to be done sooner than later.
Well, that'd be great. Well, David, I thank you very much and for taking the time, and blessings to you, the band, the crew, and all your families. And, we just wish you a lot of continued success and personal happiness.
Thank you very much. That sounds very sincere, man.
Okay?
Okay.
All right. We'll look forward to seeing you again soon.
All right.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.